Good morning, and thank you for joining us on 5 at 8. It's Monday, April 1st, 2024. And here's Linda Carlisle and Mark Overman with today's top news. In this episode, we will talk about rising tensions in the Middle East as Secretary of State Antony Blinken visits Israel amid fears of invasion of Rafah and Israeli military raids on Gaza Hospital. We'll also discuss U.S. airstrikes targeting Iranian-linked militants in Iraq and Syria, U.S. inflation above the Federal Reserve's target, Home Depot's acquisition strategy, the passing of computer network engineer Daniel C. Lynch, and the testing of a machine in Iceland to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere to combat climate change. Story number one. Tensions rise as Secretary of State Antony Blinken visits Israel amid plans for invasion of Rafah. Israeli military continues raid on Gaza Hospital. Conflict escalates in the Middle East with concerns over Gaza-Egypt border control and potential war between Israel and Lebanon. U.S. airstrikes target Iranian-linked militants in Iraq and Syria, as reported by Washington Post. Why, it seems like we're back to square one with the Middle East crisis, doesn't it? Netanyahu's move to invade Rafah and the continued raids on Gaza City. It's deplorable. And I'm not just talking about the humanitarian crisis unfolding there. Strategically, it's a blunder, too. It's only going to escalate tensions with Lebanon, and the U.S. is going to be dragged deeper into this quagmire.
I hear you, Mark, but I'm not sure I completely agree. The situation is certainly volatile, and it's worrying to see the humanitarian crisis unfolding. However, it's important to remember that Israel has the right to defend itself. The strikes on Al-Shifa Hospital are concerning, but they're a response to a threat. And as for the U.S., they've always had a vested interest in maintaining stability in the region.
Defend? Sure, Linda, but at what cost? We're talking about human lives here. And as for U.S. involvement, don't you think it's time we reevaluate our approach? These airstrikes in Iraq and Syria, they're not helping our cause. They're just inciting more violence.
Well, Mark, that's where we differ. I believe that sometimes, unfortunately, military action is necessary to maintain peace. The U.S. airstrikes were a response to an attack that cost American lives. It's a complex situation, and there's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Yeah, I get that, Linda. I just worry that we're too quick to resort to military might when diplomacy might serve us better. Look at the 1979 peace treaty. We've got to believe in the possibility of peace, even in times of escalating conflict.
I agree, Mark, that diplomacy should always be the first course of action. But we also have to realize that diplomacy doesn't always work, especially when dealing with parties that are not willing to negotiate. The situation in the Middle East is complicated, and we can't oversimplify it by suggesting that diplomacy alone can solve everything.
Story number two. In a report from The Guardian, Annie Jacobson's new book explores the terrifying possibility of nuclear war, highlighting the dangers posed by human frailty and technological capabilities. The book presents a scenario where a nuclear conflict is triggered by a series of events involving North Korea, the U.S., and Russia. Jacobson emphasizes the importance of understanding the risks associated with nuclear weapons and the critical role of world leaders in preventing a catastrophic outcome. I gotta tell you, Linda, reading Annie Jacobson's new book, it's like getting a cold splash of water in the face. It's a chilling scenario, a real wake-up call to the continued relevance of nuclear threats in our world today.
It certainly is, Mark. And what struck me the most was how Jacobson highlights the role of human frailty in this potential catastrophe. It's not just about the technology, it's about the people who control it.
Exactly. It's like that old saying, to err is human. But when you're talking about a nuclear arsenal, a single mistake could be devastating. These weapons are controlled by people who, like all of us, have their weaknesses and vulnerabilities. They get angry, they get scared, they can be impulsive, and the power they wield is... it's just incomprehensible.
Indeed. And Jacobson's scenario is all the more terrifying because it's all too plausible. The tensions between nations, the political brinkmanship, the faulty early warning systems, it's a powder keg waiting to explode. And it's somewhat reminiscent of the Cuban Missile Crisis, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The world was on the brink of nuclear war then, and it's scary how easily we could find ourselves in a similar situation now. But what gets me is how this threat has sort of faded from public discourse. I mean, we're talking about the potential for global annihilation, and yet most folks are largely unaware or indifferent.
That's a very good point, Mark. the discussion around nuclear weapons has been, as Jacobson puts it, rarefied. It's been turned into a technical debate, largely reserved for those in the know. But this is an issue that affects everyone, and it's important to make it accessible to the public.
You're right on the money there, Linda. Democratizing the discourse around nuclear warfare is crucial. It's not just about the politicians or the military experts. We all have a stake in this. And as for the sole authority concept, don't get me started. The idea that a single person can end the world in a few minutes, it's terrifying.
Indeed, it's a sobering thought. And it raises important questions about the kind of safeguards we need to prevent rash decisions. That's a conversation we definitely need to have.
Story number 3. U.S. inflation remains above the Federal Reserve's 2% target, but has decreased from 40-year highs reached in the summer of 2022. Despite this, the Fed is still expected to cut interest rates this year. Fed Chair Jerome Powell emphasized the importance of controlling inflation, stating that the economy is performing well. Economists are divided on the Fed's decision to cut rates despite expecting higher inflation. Home Depot's $18.3 billion acquisition of SRS Distribution reflects its strategy to target professional contractors and builders as the home improvement market slows. According to CNN, this acquisition is part of Home Depot's strategic move. Did you notice, Linda, how Jerome Powell emphasized that the Fed is committed to bringing inflation down to 2% over time? It's a clear sign that the central bank is not taking this lightly. It's a tricky balancing act, isn't it? On one hand, they need to manage inflation, but they also need to consider the impact of their actions on economic growth.
It's a very delicate balance, but what stood out to me was the Fed's willingness to be patient. They're expecting some bumpiness in the inflation data, but as Lydia Boussour pointed out, they're banking on disinflationary conditions to continue. This suggests a certain level of confidence in their strategies, doesn't it?
There's definitely a level of confidence there. And it's noteworthy that these strategies aren't just about controlling inflation. They're also about fostering non-inflationary growth. This supply-side story in the U.S. economy is fascinating. It's not just about reducing demand to manage inflation, but also about increasing supply.
Yes, and factors like the normalization of supply chain conditions, productivity growth, and the rebound in the labor supply are all contributing to this non-inflationary growth. It's a multifaceted approach, which seems to be the key here. Relying on a single strategy or indicator would be too simplistic and potentially risky.
Couldn't agree more, Linda. And let's not forget the human element in all this. The central bank's actions have real-world implications for everyday people. Inflation can hit hardest those who are living paycheck to paycheck. So it's not just about figures and data, but about people's livelihoods.
Well said. There's a lot at stake here. And as we've seen, central banks like the Fed have a critical role in managing these complex economic dynamics. It's a role that requires not just economic expertise, but also a deep sense of responsibility and empathy for the people affected by these decisions.
Story number 4. Daniel C. Lynch, a computer network engineer who worked on the early internet, passed away at 82. He founded a conference on computer networking equipment in the 1980s, helping to commercialize the internet. Lynch believed in the internet's commercial potential early on and organized workshops to train vendors and developers in routing traffic through the internet. His efforts contributed to the growth of the internet for business use, according to the New York Times. Would you believe it, Linda? Daniel C. Lynch, the man who literally helped shape the internet as we know it today, passed away. A true pioneer, if you ask me. He saw the potential of the internet way before most of us even knew what it was.
Yes, Mark. It's a significant loss. Lynch's vision was truly ahead of his time. His belief in the commercial potential of the internet during its early stages was quite remarkable, considering it was primarily restricted to academia and government back then.
And it's not just about having the vision, right? It's about acting on it. Guy didn't sit on the sidelines, he got his hands dirty. What really stands out to me is that workshop he organized in 86. Imagine that, huh? Working with volunteers to teach vendors and developers how to configure equipment for routing internet traffic. That's hands-on leadership.
Certainly, Mark. His proactive approach definitely played a critical role in accelerating the commercialization of the internet. and the fact that he was able to demonstrate the practical uses of the internet for businesses was a game changer. It transformed the internet from a restricted academic tool into a global commercial phenomenon.
Oh, indeed. And it makes me think, you know, how his work parallels what's happening with AI and blockchain technologies today. There are always hurdles to overcome, sure. But the visionaries who see the potential and take risks, they're the ones who drive us forward.
Pioneers like Lynch not only shape the trajectory of technology, but also society at large. They challenge the status quo and create new realms of possibilities. It makes one wonder, what would the internet landscape look like today, had individuals like Lynch not stepped in to tap into its commercial potential?
Story number 5. Engineers in Iceland are testing a machine that can remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and store it underground. This technology, once considered too expensive and impractical, is now gaining traction as a way to combat climate change. Scientists are exploring other methods to manipulate nature to fight global warming, including blocking the sun's radiation and adding iron to the ocean. These ideas, once seen as science fiction, are now becoming a reality, according to the New York Times. There's no denying that the urgency of addressing climate change is pushing us to consider solutions we might have once scoffed at, huh? I mean, this project in Iceland, that's some next-level tech they're rolling out.
The increasing threat of climate change forces us to look beyond the conventional. The carbon capture technology you're referring to is an excellent example of this. By directly removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and storing it underground, we're essentially attempting to undo some of the damage we've inflicted on the environment. It's a bold and ambitious approach.
Bold and ambitious, I like that. But, Linda, isn't there some, you know, concern about the effectiveness and safety of these kinds of projects? I mean, we're meddling with the natural environment here.
You raise a valid point, Mark. Anytime we intervene in complex natural systems, there's an inherent risk. While the initial results from these projects seem promising, we still need more research to understand their long-term effectiveness and potential side effects. And it's equally important to continue efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions at their source.
Right. So it's like a multi-front battle. We gotta cut emissions and we gotta pull out what's already there. But, what about these other ideas? Blocking sun's radiation, adding iron to the ocean? Sounds like a sci-fi movie, doesn't it?
It does sound somewhat fantastical, but remember that these are desperate times, and desperate times often call for innovative measures. Each of these ideas has its own set of challenges and potential impacts. For instance, solar radiation management could help cool the planet quickly, but it doesn't address the root cause, which is the excess CO2. And adding iron to the oceans could have unintended consequences on marine ecosystems. So while these solutions are imaginative, they need to be explored with caution.
Explored with caution. That's a good way to put it. It's a delicate balance, isn't it? We're in a race against time to fight climate change, but we also can't afford to trip up and cause more harm. It's going to be interesting to see how this all pans out.
Yes, Mark. This is uncharted territory for humanity, and it's a journey we must navigate wisely and responsibly.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.